Hebrews chapter number 10. We're going to start tonight in verse number 19. Hold fast your confession. Hebrews, as you know, was written to Jews professing faith in Christ. As a result of severe persecution, some of them were contemplating abandoning Christ and Christianity and returning to Judaism and living under the law. But Hebrews was written to warn them not to do this, but to persevere in their faith in Christ. We have seen in Hebrews 1:1 through 10:18 that Christ is superior to angels, that Christ is worthy of more glory than Moses, that Christ's ministry is more excellent than the Levitical priest's ministry, and that Christ is the mediator of a better covenant. In Hebrews 10:19 through 13:21, we see that Christ has provided a better way of life than the law provided. It is the law of faith. Tonight, in Hebrews 10:19 through 25, we see that believers should hold fast their confession. As we move into verses 19 through 20, we see that the blood of Jesus has made the believer's access into the presence of God possible. It is because his blood has been presented as an offering for sin and has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Verse 19. Having is understood in the sense of inasmuch as we have, because we have, or since we have. Therefore draws an inference from the fact that there is no more need for a sin offering, and is understood in the sense of consequently, accordingly, then, or so. Brethren is brothers, indicating that the writer is writing to professing Christians, meaning to people who are claiming to be genuinely saved. What these brethren have is boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Boldness means courage, confidence, or fearlessness, and it is used especially of boldness in the presence of persons of high rank. Here it is boldness to enter into the holiest, which means to enter into the very presence of God the Father. To enter is literally for the way of entering, for entrance or for access. The word the appears before way of entering, entrance or access in the Greek text, indicating that it is the particular entrance or access into the holiest that is in view. It is the only access there is, and not just one of many. To enter is particularly for the access believers have into the holiest, meaning into the holiest place or sanctuary, and implies access into the very presence of God the Father. By the blood of Jesus is by means of the blood of Jesus. Thus, the blood of Jesus is what has made the believer's access into the presence of God possible. And of course, when we're talking about the blood of Jesus, we're talking about that blood of Jesus which was shed for sinners on the cross at Calvary. Hebrews 10:20 goes on, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Verse 20 repeats the same idea presented in verse 19, but says it in another or in a different way. By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us is literally which he renewed for us as a new and living way, where which refers to the entrance into the Holy of Holies, and where consecrated for us is renewed for us or opened for us. He is Jesus, whereas us refers to believers. By a new and living way is a new and living way, or to be a new and living way, where new is used in the sense that this was way was not previously existing. It did not exist prior to the cross. Furthermore, it's a living way because Jesus is alive from the dead forevermore. Through the veil reminds the readers that the Old Testament priest would enter into the holiest place or the Holy of Holies in the earthly tabernacle once each year, and that he would have to enter it by going through the veil. Of course, this veil separated the outer room with the inner Holy of Holies. That is to say, identifies what this particular veil is. It's not that curtain that separated the two. Now it is his flesh, meaning the flesh of Jesus. Thus in verse 20, the believer's access into the presence of God the Father is seen through the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who have access are the ones who have accepted this sacrifice of the Lord Jesus on the cross at Calvary for themselves. This means that as believers, you and I have access into the very presence of God the Father whenever we choose to do so. What a blessed privilege it is. These people are believers and always have access to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you lived in the Old Testament time period, you would not have had this privilege. Just as the way into the presence of God in the Holy of Holies before the crucifixion was through the veil separating the two compartments of the tabernacle or temple, so the way into the presence of God since the crucifixion is through Christ's crucified body. His crucifixion has made access into God's presence possible. But apart from Christ's death on the cross, there is no access into the presence of God the Father. As we move into verse 21, we also see that believers have a high priest over the house of God. And having a high priest over the house of God, and having indicates that believers not only have boldness to enter into the holiest, meaning into the presence of God by the blood of Jesus, but that they also have a high priest over the house of God. And high priest is a great priest or a great high priest. Over the house of God indicates the function of the Lord Jesus Christ as the high priest of believers. Believers are comprising this house of God. The house of God refers to believers. Thus, Jesus is the individual believer's great high priest. Not only is he the great high priest of all believers everywhere, he is my great high priest, or your great high priest. Next, in verse 22, we see that believers should draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, because their hearts have been sprinkled from an evil conscience, and their bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, verse 22 is an exhortation intended for those people wondering what was happening to them with all the persecution they were enduring and wondering whether they should return to Judaism. It is based on the assertion that believers have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, and by the fact that believers have Jesus as a great high priest over the house of God. The exhortation is, let us draw near, which means let us come to, let us go to, or let us approach. Let us draw near is the same phrase which was translated, let us come unto, back in Hebrews 4:16, where professing believers are to approach the throne of grace, which represents God himself, who gives grace, or which represents the place where God's grace may be obtained. It seems reasonable to believe that it is also to God that believers are to come near. In verse 22, with a true heart, suggests with a genuine heart, with a sincere heart, or with a dependable heart. The readers are also to come in full assurance of faith. Full assurance means certainty or conviction, and of faith suggests of trust or of belief. Believers know that they have placed their trust in Christ as their Savior. They know that this trust has opened the way of access to God the Father. Therefore, rather than shrinking back and returning to Judaism, they need to go into the presence of God the Father. Having our hearts sprinkled is understood in the sense of because, since, inasmuch as, or in view of the fact that our hearts have been sprinkled or purified. Let us draw near. It is the sprinkling of purification of the hearts from an evil conscience which enables believers to draw near to God. It doesn't matter how you feel. It matters what is your relationship to Jesus. If your relationship to Jesus is that of a believer, you have a conscience which has been cleansed or purified by the blood of Christ. From an evil conscience, it's been cleansed, and it enables you or me to draw near to God. Sprinkled means sprinkled or purified with the blood of Christ as an atonement for our sins. The tense of sprinkled indicates that an action has been completed in past time with its result continuing on. Believers' hearts have been sprinkled in the past from an evil conscience, and they remain sprinkled. Believers are in a state of having been sprinkled with the blood of Christ, and as a result, they enjoy perfect protection from judgment as a result. What has been sprinkled is our hearts. where our refers to the writer and readers of this epistle. It's another way of saying that their hearts have been cleansed or washed by the blood, or that the blood of Christ has been applied to their hearts. Our hearts implies us, deep down inside our innermost recesses. In other words, believers, that's you, that's me, and that's every other believer, have been sprinkled from an evil conscience, which where from suggests away from or removal from. Conscience is referring to your moral consciousness. Conscience is described by evil, which suggests a wicked conscience or a bad conscience, possibly a guilty conscience, which results, of course, from doing things which are wrong. Although the blood of animals in the Old Testament was able to remove the sins of the flesh temporarily, it was never able to perfect the conscience. But the blood of Christ is able to affect the conscience. We're reminded of Hebrews 9:13, where it has been shown that the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. However, as Hebrews 9:14 indicates, it is the blood of Christ which purges believers' consciences from dead works to serve the living God. And our bodies, meaning our physical bodies, washed is understood in the sense of and because, since, inasmuch as, or in view of the fact that our bodies have been washed. Its tense likewise indicates action completed in past time with its result continuing on. Thus, the bodies of believers have been washed in the past, and they remain washed. With pure water continues the symbolism and means with clean water. Believers are clean or pure as a result of their having been washed with pure water. Our bodies washed with pure water answers to the sanctifying of the flesh, which occurred with the sacrifice of the blood of bulls and with the application of the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean in 9:13. Not only have believers been cleansed from sin in their flesh by the sacrifice of Christ, but also their consciences have been cleansed or purified. In addition, in verse 23, we see that believers should hold fast the profession of their faith without wavering. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Verse 23 is a second exhortation along with verse 22, based on the fact that believers may enter boldly into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, who is the great high priest over the house of God. When we pray, let's always remember that it is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are able to enter into the presence of God the Father when we pray. Let us hold fast means let us retain faithfully, or let us keep. Believers are to hang on to or to hold on to the profession of our faith, and they are to do it without wavering. The profession of our faith is the confession of our faith or the acknowledgement of our faith, where our refers to the writer and readers and by extension to all believers everywhere. Even though believers may have undergone some difficult times, they should not abandon Christianity because of these times. They are going in the right direction with Christianity. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Our faith is literally our hope. Here, the word "the" is used to show possession, and it is translated "our." Our hope is the hope of Christianity, hence it is translated our faith. In today's usage in English, hope conveys the idea of something for which one may wish, but of which he cannot be certain. Perhaps you are hoping to get a bicycle for Christmas. You may or may not get one, but it can be your hope. Most of us might have hoped that about 90 years ago, but today is another matter, isn't it? I'm really, you know, I'm still young enough not to be 90, but I really am not hoping to get a bicycle for Christmas, all right? You understand? I'm guessing none of you except the youngest here would have that kind of hope any longer. In today's usage, in English, hope conveys the idea of something for which one may wish, but of which he cannot be certain. However, in the New Testament, the hope that believers have in Jesus Christ as their Savior is definite and certain. It is absolute. There is no doubt about it. Thus, it is an expectation. And I've said this many times, but I say it again so that you understand it. The difference between hope, as we use it today, and hope when it means expectation in the New Testament, is like a woman hoping to have a baby, and the woman who is expecting one. Now you know the difference. One is not pregnant. The other one is pregnant. I'm sure that all of you adults who have gone through having children remember that you were given a notification by your doctor that you were going to be having a baby around a certain date. With my first one, he was going to come on Labor Day. So everybody was wishing my wife a happy Labor Day. Well, he beat that by about a week. So we didn't have her having a happy Labor Day. She had an ordinary Labor Day, and you ladies know all about that. And it's not exactly the happiest time in your life to go through it. The end result, however, is a very happy time for you. First of all, it's over with, but second, you've got that little child, and what a blessing he or she has been to you. Believers are to hold their faith or hope without wavering, which suggests that they're to hold it steady. And the reason they should hold the confession of the hope steady is for he is faithful that promised. Thus, for is used in the sense of because. He apparently refers to God the Father. He is faithful suggests he is dependable, he is reliable, or he is trustworthy. And of course, he that promised is the one who has promised, and the one who promised is the same one who made promise to Abraham and suggests God the Father. God the Father is faithful. You can trust him. You can count on him. He's made a promise and he's going to keep it. He's never and never will He's never broken a promise and never will. We furthermore see in verse 24 that believers should consider one another to provoke one another unto love and to good works. Now, I've seen when we have provoked one another, but it's not been to love and to good works, all right? It's to see what we can get them mad at, all right? Now, be careful. You don't want to really cause somebody to commit sin. It's okay to have some fun, but be careful. Don't take it too far. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And continues the thought from verses 22 and 23 of something believers should do because they have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus and because they have a great high priest over the house of God. Let us consider is parallel to let us draw near in verse 22 and to let us hold fast in verse 23. Let us consider as let us notice, where notice is used in the spiritual sense of let us fix the eyes of the Spirit upon. And what believers are to consider is one another or each other. To provoke is for stirring up, for provoking, or perhaps we would understand it better as for encouragement. Unto love and to good works indicates what believers are to stir each other up for, to provoke each other or to encourage each other. They are to provoke, to stir up, or to encourage love and good works on the part of each other. This love is the sort of love God demonstrated for believers when he sent Christ to die on the cross for their sins. It's the love that gives itself completely on behalf of someone else without expecting anything in return. It's the sort of love a husband is to have for his wife. It's the sort of love we are to have for our enemies. Also, good works should be characteristic of all believers. But here, these good works are in contrast to the dead works which were found in Judaism. Finally, we see in verse 25 that believers should not abandon Christianity as evidenced by forsaking the assembling of themselves together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. This is one of those verses which is frequently taken out of context and made to say something that it's not actually saying. Keep it in context, please. Not forsaking means not abandoning or not deserting. Some had ceased assembling themselves together because of discouragement with their outward circumstances brought about by persecution and affliction, which they as believers were experiencing, but which they had not expected. They needed to stop this practice and to begin assembling together again for mutual encouragement, service, and worship. What they were forsaking was the assembling of ourselves together. The assembling means the meeting of a local church or a body of believers together, while ourselves indicates the group of people who were assembling together. It refers to believers, as is just as the manner of some is, indicates that some were already failing to assemble together. It is simply as is customary of some or just as is a habit for some. The failure of some to continue assembling indicates that they were heading in the wrong direction spiritually. If they continued going in this direction, it might result in their total abandonment of Christianity and would demonstrate that they were really unsaved people. Instead, they needed to make sure that they were really saved and that they were going in the right direction in their lives. Although people use this to talk about how it's important that you not forsake assembling in Sunday school on a weekly basis, that's not what it's really talking about. It's talking about leaving Christianity because you have concluded that it's not correct, that you would abandon Christ and Christianity and return to Judaism. Now, we know that attending church does not save one, but abandoning church attendance may indicate a complete abandonment of Christianity or a complete apostasy. The use of this word to encourage consistent rather than spasmodic church attendance does not really deal adequately with the context, but introduces a strong contrast between what they should not be doing and what they should be doing. Exhorting one another is encouraging one another, comforting one another, urging one another, or appealing to one another, and so much the more as is, and all the more as ye see. You are seeing. And what you are seeing is the day approaching or the day coming near. It suggests someone who is in darkness, who is seeking to hold out until daylight appears. The daylight that believers trust will appear is the day that their hope will be fulfilled, the day in which their hope in Christ and their salvation will be complete. It is a reference to the rapture. We were saved, as you know, the day we trusted Christ as our Savior. We are in the process of being saved from the day we first trusted in Christ until we die or until the rapture, whichever comes first. But our final tense of salvation will occur when we are without that old sin nature any longer and when we are completely Christ-like and have our new resurrection bodies. That's the rapture. You may die before the rapture, and you will lose your old sin nature at that time. However, you don't get your new body until the rapture, when the Lord comes back for believers. We've seen that believers should hold fast their confession because the blood of Jesus has made the believer's access into the presence of God possible, because believers have a high priest over the house of God, and because believers' hearts have been sprinkled from an evil conscience, and believers' bodies have been washed with pure water. Therefore, they, believers, should hold fast the profession of their faith without wavering. Believers should seek to encourage each other to love and to good works, and not to abandon Christianity by permanently forsaking the assembling of themselves together, as some of the Jewish people were apparently contemplating doing. Let us pursue after the Lord with all our hearts. Let us be studying the Word of God thoroughly. thoroughly and consistently and allowing God to use His Word to do a work in our lives. That's why it is so important that we in our church go through the Scriptures and teach our people what God is saying in the Bible, not just giving some kind of exhortation based on some thought process that comes to me apart from the Scriptures. Let's do it. If you did not hear what Jesse said in Sunday school this morning in the adult class, toward the end of the lesson, it was very well done and very accurate. You can be thankful that you have an excellent teacher in our adult Sunday school class. I'm thankful for it. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you that we have this wonderful privilege of studying thy word. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will do a work in our lives and hearts as we study thy word. Help us to become more and more Christ-like in our daily lives. Bless these dear folks. Meet their every need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.